Our scripture readings today, Psalms 104, 24, 34. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creations. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and for, and Leviathan, which you form to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Our next scripture reading is Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Many, many different countries and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our third reading is John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this time he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Before I begin, I ask you to shelve all of those things of the week. Put them on hold. Take a deep breath. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Breathe in. Centering yourself on worship. And that the words of that God has for us today may change our hearts. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as fire and burn. Come as wind and cleanse. Come as light and reveal. Convict, convert, and consecrate us till we are wholly thine, serving thee with joy and gladness all the days of our lives. Amen. Today is Pentecost. Yay! I see red in out in those pews. You know, I never wore red because until I had cancer, I had red hair. And so the red always clashed, so I wouldn't wear red. But we celebrate today because today is Pentecost. The story begins with a sentence that many times has been overlooked. It says, when Pentecost Day arrived, they were all gathered in one place. Maybe we can understand this a little bit better after going through weeks, months, and years of COVID. You know, we understand that social distancing maybe a little bit better. But those seven words, they were all gathered in one place. Maybe that has a different significance to us today. Yes, they were in the upper room where they were staying. The doors were locked. And this is right after Christ ascended. I'm sure last week your message was on the ascension of the Lord, where he was lifted up. We've heard this story from Acts 2 so many times. Maybe sometimes we forget what it really says. It says, tongues of fire, violent wind. Sometimes maybe we try to make it PG for the children. I don't know. But sometimes maybe when we read Acts 2, we think of, oh, candles and breezes blowing and doves, maybe a peaceful image. But that's not what Pentecost is about. It says in Scripture, violent wind, tongues of fire. And there's nothing very peaceful about that. The stories of Pentecost are connected to other chaotic stories where the wind has been present. You know, the wind of God moved over the abyss before creation. The wind was there driving back the flood in the time of Noah. The wind is what separated the Red Sea to let the Israelites pass through. And the wind was the signal to Elijah that God's fearsome power is still often heard in a small voice. It also says the Spirit appeared in fire. The fire landed on their tongues. Many times in pictures we see a little flame on their heads. It's like the fire that sealed the covenant with Abraham. The fire of the burning bush that we know that story so well with Moses. The fire in the pillar that guided the Israelites through the wilderness. And the cleansing fire in the Psalms. And the judging, consuming fire of Elijah and the prophets. You know, these stories teach us that the work of the Spirit cannot be contained. It can't be constrained, and it cannot be controlled. You know, God has no regard to structure, hierarchy, or the status quo. that Spirit of God will move anywhere that it wills to. We can't predict how it's going to move or where it will show up. But it does, and it brings a new vision, sometimes even a chaotic vision, to the world. We are called to live in the expectation that there will be a time when the Spirit will figuratively, or who knows, even literally, blow through a meeting place. This morning, it could blow through like violent wind, light us up with tongues of fire, and give us new languages. Tongues we don't know, in which to speak to God's deeds. And people outside may say, is Broadway Christian? Are all those people drunk? No, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, just like they said in the gospel today. They're not drunk. They're full of the Spirit. The apostles, the disciples, were not expecting it to happen this way. They were waiting for some sign of God to appear, because Christ said, I will come again. He said, go back to the city and wait. You know, they didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, I think a powerful wind is on its way. I think it's going to knock us over. It's going to light up our tongues. And it's going to send us out to build a new church. You know, Pentecost is the birth of the church. The church's birth is Pentecost. No, those gospels, those apostles, they were just gathered to worship and pray. And they had a little bit of fear in them. They weren't expecting this wind and tongues of fire. They were just praying and waiting, because that's what Christ had told them to do. And then the scripture said, suddenly. And I think that's a key word, suddenly. Something happened. Suddenly. It was something they did not expect to happen. It was through the events of the risen Lord, their master's life, his death, and new life. They expected anything could happen, but this is kind of crazy. A sound like the rush of a violent wind is what it says. It doesn't say it was a violent wind. It said it sounded like a violent wind. We can't really know what they saw, but it sounded like a violent wind. And it filled their whole house. That upper room was filled. Kind of beyond comprehension of what is going on. That whole story of them waiting. Christ told them to wait, but they didn't know what they were waiting for. But it wasn't just the wind, it was fire. It says divided tongues of fire resting upon each of them. The flames were encompassing, and yet it appeared that individual flames were on them. It wasn't like a fire in the room. It was an individual flame fell upon each one of them. Whatever it is that is blown through their space, it still kept them as individuals. We are told they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit that even gave them languages other than their own to speak. Unique, individual. They were not given one common language, but a second language so that people all over could understand. I don't know how many of you know a second language. Our daughter that is with us this morning, Amanda, is deaf. And the family knows sign language. If you don't know sign language, do you know what they're saying? No. My grandma was German. Every Saturday morning, we sat in her basement, and she taught us German. I wish I remembered more, but when she spoke, if I didn't know German, did I understand? No. But people from the country that know German understood. The people that are deaf or from deaf communities understand sign language. And so this is why all of them were given different languages. The devout Jews of every nation in the world are there in Jerusalem. This is a holiday, a Jewish holiday. It was part of the Jewish Pentecostal activities. And there that spirit filled the disciples, the apostles, speaking in different tongues so that everyone in the world could understand them. This is not about, quote, speaking in tongues. And we know some of the churches and some people believe in speaking in tongues. This was not that. They were speaking in languages. It talks about speaking in tongues, but it was so that everyone understood. And they were sent from Jerusalem to ascend and to touch everyone. In Acts 1, they asked Jesus just prior to his ascension, Lord, is this the time when you restore the kingdom of Israel? This experience of violent wind, tongues of fire, different languages. This is the answer to the question. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will restore the kingdom. Not only in Israel, but beyond. From this point on, discipleship will be a mission. It'll be a transformation, a restoration. It will restore the ancient kingdom of Israel and restore that oneness of God and humankind. It all began in a small room in a big city among a small group of committed people. You know, the old scripture where one or more are gathered, we're gathered in God's name. There were only 11 of those apostles there. Judas had gone on and hung himself after what he had done. Then that small group turned outward to the wide world. They took those languages and they learned the languages so they could speak to people in Turkey, in Germany, wherever they went. It wasn't called Germany then. But they could understand God's deeds and his power. You know, that same condition is in place today. It's in place right here in this church. There's no prerequisite to being a Christian other than to have faith and be patient. The call to us from the risen Christ is the same as the call from the ascending Christ to our spiritual ancestors. So I guess our question for today is slight variation of their question. But we ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? We are told you're coming soon, but how soon? We don't know. I can say, when, Lord, when? When are you going to restore us to our former greatness? When will you fill all the pews again? When are you going to fill the churches? When will you bring all of those that have lost their faith back into the fold? You know, all those sheep that are out there lost. We don't know. God doesn't tell us. But someplace in the chaos of the violent wind and the tongues of fire and the wonderlands where God is moving in our lives, sometimes it even feels scary in that chaos. But the apostles in the Pentecost story knew what to do next because Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to them. The one who comes alongside and encourages, equips, strengthens, provokes, and comforts us so we can get out there and do what needs to be done. The Spirit helps us to find the beauty of the wind. Oh, what a gorgeous day it is today. That Spirit helps us find the light in the darkness, because sometimes we have dark days. So as we look at the calendar today, May 28th, Memorial Day weekend, let's look at it as today is the day of Pentecost. It's a day that we celebrate this movement that started in Jerusalem. Let us leave here today waiting, watching, and praying. Acts 2 tells us, in good time the Spirit will move us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I say that every day. It may be something we don't completely understand, something we can't understand. You know, when I used to do confirmation and I told the kids about the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay, we can talk about the Father, God, the Son, Jesus. How do you explain the Holy Spirit to 14-year-olds? There's no even pictures of the Holy Spirit. At least we have a picture of God sometimes. In the cloud or however you want to look at him. We have lots of pictures of Jesus. And I would say to them, take your hands and blow. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the wind. We can't see it, but can you feel it? You can feel the Holy Spirit in your heart. And we'll know when it happens. We will be given a strange language, maybe. Maybe people will look and say, what happened to her? What happened to him? Well, now they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are asked to be sent out to bring others into the fold. We will be faithful. This church is filled with the Holy Spirit. I feel it every time I walk in here. You have a lot of that Holy Spirit. But even though we have it, we have to continue to wait, watch, pray, and then the fourth one comes to act on it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.